Last month, Deirdre Baer, the official biographer of Samuel Beckett and Simone de Beauvoir, died at home in Connecticut. She was 84. Before she died, she published one last book, a memoir called Parisian Lives, in which she revealed what it was like to write about two such complex people who also happened to be literary giants of the 20th century. Sophie Gorman has been reading Parisian Lives for us, and she joins me now, suitably enough, from Paris. Lockdown in Paris, is it lifting over there? Just Sophie, sorry, before we could...
Sean, it's lifting a little bit. It's a bit of a strange... I wish we had the gradual lift that you have there in Dublin and Paris. It's been kind of an... It's like we have all the bad bits of lockdown, but we're slightly freer. So we all wear masks, but we're all still not able to live our lives. So it's a frustrating ending, if that might be the way to see it.
All right. Well, let's get stuck into this book then, Parisian Lives from Deirdre Baer. Explain to me first, Deirdre Baer, at the very beginning of this, in her preface to the book, explains how she was absolutely and totally an accidental biographer.
It's a lovely term. And she admits actually in that preface that she had never read a biography before she decided that she would write one about one of the two people in the title of this book, apart from her own me. The other two people are Samuel Beckett and Simone de Beauvoir. And Samuel Beckett was the first one that she decided to write. And she did it because she was a young journalist, a news journalist, married with two children. And she was doing a graduate studies course in New York's Columbia University. In medieval studies, and she then was failing with that a bit, so she moved to the 20th century, and she decided she would needed a research subject, and she wrote a list on cards, on index cards, and then arranged them alphabetically, and Beckett came first because there were no A's. And she did then what every gutsy young journalist would do. She wrote to the very reclusive Sam Beckett and asked if she could write his biography, as hundreds of people had done before that. But the real surprise was that he wrote back and told her to meet him in Paris.
Why? What do you think it was? I don't know whether the letter gives us any hint of what she was looking to ask him, or that she gave some idea within that he thought, yeah, I'd like this young woman to write my biography.
Well, I think that one of the things that she suggests herself is that one of the reasons it was a question she was wondering all of her life, and many other people's. A lot of people presumed that she had pillow talked her way into doing it because of him turning everybody else down. But actually, she said that she thought that one of the reasons was that he had thought that she would never actually do it, that he made it so incredibly, impossibly difficult for her that she thought that he had just presumed that it would fail.
Yeah.
And that he kept pushing her away, and it was it was quite the dance between the pair of them, that is really at the heart of this. Though we do have some of Simone de Beauvoir, and we do have some of Deirdre Baer. Really, what we have is Beckett, it's about the Beckett and the way he manipulated and controlled everyone and everything in his life, and it's absolutely fascinating actually to read it. She tells it in a beautifully self-deprecating way and puts herself very much in the picture.
And far from any pillow talk or any suggestion of that whatsoever, which of course might have been envy on the part of those who didn't get to interview Mr. Beckett and to write his biography. There was a formality to their meetings and even to the way they addressed each other from the very outset, which she maintains the writing of the book.
She stayed right from the beginning. She was Mrs. Baer, never Deirdre, never anything else. And he was always Mr. Beckett. I think it was also the fact that she was American, because she brought an American academic meticulousness to the process. She refused to rely, and I mean, there were loads of wonderfully juicy, gossipy stories going around about Beckett at the time. But and even if they came from very seemingly trustworthy sources, she required a minimum of three sources before she would consider adding anything to the book. And she kept that formality throughout. And she never, with Samuel Beckett, they never ate a meal together. They never, throughout the years of working on the book, and it took the best part of a decade to finish it. But they always had that distance. And she was always, I think, as everybody was, that she was very enthralled to him and slightly terrified of him. But I have to share with you, Sean, because he, being Samuel Beckett, he was meant to meet her on November 7th in 1971. And being Beckett, he delayed it for 10 days and disappeared. And she was sitting in a hotel in Paris wondering, was it ever going to happen? And when he did meet her, his very first line to her was, "So you are the one who is going to reveal me for the charlatan that I am."
It's a great line.
exactly, being Beckett to the nth degree, just, you know, kind of making her question everything. And then she disintegrated at the end of that and saying, oh, no, I will never be able to do this. But then he ended up reassuring her. It was all a dance. It was always a dance.
Yeah, the other interesting thing that she details in this book, and remember, what she's telling us here is really, it's the behind the scenes. It's the making of the biography, if you like. It's the document. It's the extra on the DVD is what we're getting,
the
really.
Cut.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
What she tells us about is how she became, you know, she found out about Beckett through his friend. She had connections that got her in contact with, I believe, Jack McGarren was one of them, the poet George Reavie.
Her professor in Columbia was pivotal in this. He introduced her both to Jack McGarren, who is obviously the most celebrated, one of the most celebrated Beckett interpreters in New York, and also the poet George Reavie. And both of these played very crucial parts in Beckett's life. And then they also, Reavie was the friend who was determined to help Beckett get Murphy published, which was back in the 30s, and then he took it upon himself to become Beckett's agent. And they both had a rapport, and she saw McGarren doing the three books, performing them live in New York, and describes it as one of the most emotional theatre experiences that she ever had. But they also were wonderfully open with her, as many people were actually within the Beckett circle. But what she retrospectively learned about a lot of these people was they were all acting on behalf of Beckett and then reporting back to Beckett, who would carefully monitor all of their interactions. I mean, he had wonderful spies who would pop up at random moments and suddenly take her to lunch just to pump her for information as to what she was doing.
Yeah, a bit of a two-way street, the idea of talking to the friends. Obviously, they spoke back to Beckett as well. But, you know, Beckett was such an enigma in that respect. I suppose we all want to know, well, how did she even get to talk to him? What kind of things? How did he behave when he was sitting opposite her? All of that type of thing. As a result, within this book, Parisian Lives, does the Simone de Beauvoir bit seem, the sections that deal with the story of how she came to write that biography, are they dull by comparison, or are they equally interesting?
It's kind of a second part. It's definitely a second act, and because it's also in Paris, and because de Beauvoir lived and roamed around the same quartier as Beckett, the ghost of Beckett is always there. We have the sense Bear mentions it, that she's kind of dodging Beckett. She sees him a couple of times in the distance and doesn't feel that she can engage with him. Actually, because at one point Beckett told her that he was very disappointed in her because he thought that she would remain faithful to him, and he felt that writing about de Beauvoir was a betrayal. But when she developed a completely different relationship with de Beauvoir, and it isn't as powerful a section as the Beckett section, because that is so full of color. I mean, we have Bear feeding Irish literary soaks whiskey in bars in Dublin, you know, to try and get the stories, and we have the wary cousins, and we have lots of different, we have freeloaders, we have the Becketeers, so there's a lot of characters in the Beckett section. But the de Beauvoir she meets, and it's a very different de Beauvoir than you might have expected. Bear describes her as lumpy, grumpy, frumpy and dumpy. She's wearing a grubby red dressing gown, which she was actually put in her coffin in, and what Bear describes as a red rag turban. And she's somebody whose face didn't blush ever, but got mottled whenever she was angry, which was often. But what Bear developed with her, unlike Beckett, was that she developed an actual friendship and a connection with her that was very close. And it was a very different process for her, because with Beckett, she was kind of gathering the jigsaw pieces from around Beckett's world. But with de Beauvoir, much of it was coming from de Beauvoir and her sister, Hélène. We have a very different experience with de Beauvoir.
And what about the resultant biographies and the reactions? Because I know the Beckett lovers really detested what she did and, you know, caused her major trouble. What about the de Beauvoir situation? Were the two biographies lauded at the time? Does she go into the reception?
Oh, no. The de Beauvoir, the Beckett book, which came out it was lauded by Literary World. It won the National Book Award, but it was highly divisive on publication, and there were so many other people clamoring to write the definitive Beckett biography, and they did not want to accept that this American woman had claimed that podium. And the Becketeers, as they were called, this whole coterie of people who adored Beckett and felt they knew Beckett better than anyone else, they loathed her, and they planned a huge symposium to rescue Beckett from Blair, I think was the Bear was the title of it. And this actually was a moment when, sorry, I was just going to say, was this a moment when we got more of a personal part of this? Because the title of the book is Parisian Lives, Beckett, de Beauvoir and Me. And there's not hugely an element of me in the book, me being Bear. But at this part, she does admit that this was the straw that broke her camel's back, and she had something of a minor breakdown and took some time to return to normal life.
Just one brief question that I meant to ask you about the de Beauvoir situation. She wanted to ask de Beauvoir about her sexuality. How much of a dance did she do around that question, and did she get an answer when she asked?
She got a screaming answer. De Beauvoir was not happy at all when she asked this question at all. But she decided to accept the fact that, de Beauvoir denied that she was a lesbian. She said that she kissed her partner, Sylvie, who then she adopted. But she said it was not a lesbian relationship. Right. And Bear adopted the consensus view that Blanche Wieson-Cook, writing about, as Eleanor Roosevelt said, if she does not identify as a lesbian, you cannot call her one.
Right.
So because de Beauvoir would not accept it, she was willing to accept it. So in the resulting biography, she was very polite about it.
You enjoyed the read then, did you, Sophie?
Highly recommend this. This is just, I think, if you've just an interest in any of the Paris, de Beauvoir, Beckett.
It's for you.
Or the 70s or the 80s. It's beautifully, gloriously indiscreet, and it's a great read.
Sophie Gorman speaking to us there about Deirdre Bear's Parisian Lives, Samuel Beckett, and it's just called Beauvoir in the title, in fact, and Me. It's published by Atlantic.